We're live.
Live!
From the Twin Cities with the Bob Sansevier Show. Great guests, interviews, and over 30 years of sports insight.
I'm pretty good at my job.
Here's the host of the show, Bob Sansevier.
We spent a lot of time with going through some of these guys that are potential character or problem guys that you have read about. We spent time with them here in Minnesota. We spent time with them out at campus. We want to make sure these guys that have potential character issues, if they're going to be a fit or not. And I feel very confident with our psychological team, Les Pico, and what he does in the process, and the time we spent with these players on if we feel comfortable bringing them into our situation or bringing them into our locker room or not. And we have a very good feel on who we would and wouldn't bring in.
That's Rick Spielman, your Vikings general manager. You know, he had told me a few years ago about the type of, you know, the type of psychological testing they do? It's the same type of, the same testing that they do on Navy SEALs when they bring them into the program. So it is pretty intense because they want to know just how whacked out these guys are.
Well, hearing him say something like that, how likely do you think we take somebody like a Shane Ray, Randy Gregory, Doriel Green, Beckham, or Marcus Peters?
Well, let's put it this way. If they seem like they're at a, when they're drafting, that this is a guy they should take and they let him go, the results didn't come back good. Because if they came back good that they feel they can live with it, then Shane Ray probably should be a guy they jump on, right? He's expected to be a top five pick.
Yeah.
So if he happens to slide to 11, which I think there's an expectation he could. The story the other day where some one of these scouts, is, that's just somebody trying to help themselves as a team, that he could slide to the fourth round. It's absurd. That's not going to happen. Nobody's going to let that guy slide out of the, probably not out of the first round.
Yeah, you could see him sliding possibly into the 20s, but
now somebody will jump
on.
Well, I mean, that's what happened with Randy Moss. He slided. You know, he slided. He slid. He slided way, 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 way down. He slid, and you know, he wound up getting with the 21st pick.
Sounds right. Isn't
that what, that's something like that for the, when the Vikings got him. But he never should have gone that far. But there's so many questions about him. Even for a guy who played when he wanted to play, he could play.
Yes, he could.
I mean, it's having, you know, I was a columnist at the Pioneer Press at the time, and but went to virtually, you know, all of his games, home and away, and he had a bigger, as much or as big an impact on the game as any player I'd see, any player that wasn't a quarterback. Because he was, well, you've seen him. If anyone who's seen him knows how he could just take over a game if that so moved him. Used to like to take over those Cowboy games, though, because he was mad that they didn't take him. Because he thought they were going to wind up taking him. And there was the first, his rookie season was the Thanksgiving Day game.
Yeah.
Wasn't that his rookie year when he just lit him up and he got that silly little gobbler that Madden gave away?
Was that the three catch, 150 yards, three touchdowns?
Yes, that was about it. Yeah, that's roughly what it was. It was like 50, 49, 51. It was ridiculous yardage, but that he piled up. It isn't until, maybe it's like this for a lot of kids on Christmas, too. You're excited, but you're not really excited until draft eve and Christmas eve.
Can't anyone freak out there, okay?
Because now it becomes a little more real. Speaking of real, you know, yesterday, Rick Spielman had his big news conference to talk. He talked quite a bit. How, you know, the Vikings have no interest or intent to trade Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson was asked by a guy yesterday. He was at the Rockets-Mavericks game. Last night, and reporter goes up to him and asks him about if he'd like to play for the Cowboys. It would be nice, Peterson said. I've got family here, my dad's here, but I'm under contract, so we'll see. See, I was wondering if he would actually consider, with it so close, just to come out, you know, basically blatant. Whose phone is that at this hour?
It must be important.
Can't be too important. People should know better. Tell him to stop calling. What I'm wondering about him is, why did he consider the all-out assault? By that, I mean to say, I won't play for him. They can keep me, but I'm not playing. So they better draft themselves a running back. That would put them into a panic because then they're not sure. They know they saved the money, but they're not sure how serious he is.
How about we draft Todd Gurley or Melvin Gordon and then just bench Adrian Peterson?
Well, I don't think that's going to happen, but I'll tell you what, if they did draft Todd Gurley with the first pick, they'll be getting a lot of phone calls for AP right away. They'll still be in the first round if they did something like that. Think about that. That's when teams would realize he'd do it. What do you think they could get if they took Gurley? I think they certainly would get they can get a late first or an early second, because that's when teams start to truly do panic.
Yeah.
Could you imagine AP running the ball in New England?
That's kind of a scary thought, because you've seen what the Patriots can do when
with
they have
lousy,
a good running
just
game.
Average backs.
Like, when they brought in Corey Dillon, even though he was at the end of his career, first year, he lit it up for him.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, you have to still worry about, other than Randy Moss, he's never had a great receiver. Moss was the best they've ever had by far. They've had good receivers. And Wes Welker, I mean, that's one of the luckiest guys in the NFL. He can catch the ball, no question, but look who he's played with. Played with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. I mean, he benefited from systems that were going to help him. But Adrian Peterson running the ball in, New England they're not that big into that first round pick.
No,
they give that up.
Yeah.
You know, last pick, again, trade with New England. They're used to it. They have a history of trading the last pick to the Vikings, the last pick of the first round. That wouldn't be so shabby.
I don't think they'd turn that down.
So you'd come up with Gurley, and you'd come up with the last pick in the first round, get yourself a cornerback there, maybe another wide receiver.
Peters or Byron Jones or Kevin Johnson.
Maybe you take Melvin Gordon. You got Gurley and Gordon.
Get the 1-2 punch.
Yeah, in case one doesn't work out, the other one does. Well, I don't think that's going to happen. But I still am not convinced that that he is going to survive the weekend. But I will say this. If he's still with the Vikings after Friday, he's not going anywhere.
No.
Because then they're not going to be making deals for later than a second-round pick. And it would have to be an early second and other picks for it to make it work. So I don't really anticipate anything other than that happening. Now we've got a lot of stuff to talk about today, and we will. You know, we got the draft is tomorrow. This AP thing to the Cowboys, the Wilder, they're not playing till Friday night, but they're obviously still a story. We're going to be joined shortly by Cameron Botticelli from the U, play football there. He may be drafted over this weekend, so he's going to spend some time with us. Chuck Foreman's going to join us. Brian Jones from the Geo and Jones Morning Show. Esther Tesfazi and our guy from the Star Tribune. Pete Wagner and Al Newman do some baseball talk. Jim Suhan, do we talk football? Talk anything with him. John Tower. So we're loaded with people and things to talk about. But it is draft eve. And do you see the latest out of Cleveland? These dopes get Johnny Manziel last year.
Yep.
Now they're talking about trading two number ones to move up and get Mariota. Not Winston, Mariota.
Isn't that a situation where the owner should be like, all right, GM, you're fired. Is it Haslam?
I think he's done that already. He did that 2 years ago. You know, going into last season or after the previous year, he wound up firing the GM and the coach.
But if you're abandoning one of your first-round picks so
But that was
quickly,
him. He's the one who pushed for it. It was the owner who wanted it.
Can he fire himself?
That's a problem. They've offered the Tennessee Titans two first round. Oh, my God, this is unbelievable. Okay, if you're offering this, why wouldn't you just go for the first pick and guarantee it? The number 12 and number 19 pick. Those are good picks.
But at this point, you're almost positive that Jameis Winston's going to Tampa Bay, so you don't have to pay him that extra little bit of money for being the number one overall pick by getting
okay,
number
two. See, I don't know that that's assured, because Winston could be the first overall pick, but I'm not convinced it's going to be Tampa Bay taking him. And it goes back to what I said the other day, and I talked about a month or so ago when I saw this story about the Glazer family. Malcolm Glazer was the owner of the team. Now his daughter has the controlling interest. She's not crazy about it. She's basically, I think, told the executives on these teams, the GM and the other people in the personnel department, you need to prove to me or show me that this guy is not going to be a problem. Nobody wants that, that type of an issue if he's going to be a problem in the NFL. On the field, he's been a terrific leader on the field, but it's off the field that he can get himself in so much trouble. And these guys don't just change. Look, well, Manziel didn't change. They claim now, oh, he's completely different than he was. It took him a full season to change.
But isn't the only way to prove that he can be a controlled guy in that system and just play and not do anything off the field is take him?
Yeah, but you want to take that chance.
Oh, yeah, he's reading a book today.
Is it worth taking that chance? I don't. He's a guy that if you didn't take him and he wound up having a Hall of Fame career, you just basically you say, well, we screwed up, but at the time it was the right thing to do. Okay, I know the scouts rave about his abilities and think he's so much better than Mariota. Yet there's one team and the Eagles are another one, and there are others. There are more teams I think that want to climb up and get to Mariota than want to get to Winston.
Yeah.
So why not take Mariota, who there's no indication that he's going to be an issue off the field? I don't understand. That mentality just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. How about to you?
High risk, high reward.
Do you really want him to take him? You're a Jameis Winston lover.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm a Jameis Winston lover.
It sounds like it to me.
I think he's going to be a better quarterback than Mariota as long as he can.
Depends on the system.
Stay on the field and not get into trouble.
All right, would you say that if Mariota went to Philadelphia to play for his old college coach?
I don't know. That's probably the best place for him.
It is.
Running that offense. But how long is it going to take defenses to figure out what Chip Kelly does?
Well, some of them have and some of them haven't.
Yeah.
They've had explosive days. Now there's apparently there's a former Chip Kelly aide who's saying that he believes the Eagles are going to find a way to get the second overall pick and the shot at Mariota. I don't think that's happening if they're looking at number 12 and number 19. If it's true Cleveland is offering those two picks, what could you possibly package that's going to top that?
Well, the Jets could offer Muhammad Wilkerson as well as the sixth pick. And Wilkerson's probably one of the better young defensive tackles in the league.
But again, you're talking about Mariota, right? Moving up to get Mariota?
Yeah.
See, who has been clamoring to move up to get Winston? We haven't been hearing about teams saying they want to move up to get him. I just don't understand it. Again, if it were me, I would not. There's no way I would go near him. I would stay away, and it would be like run. More than anything else, and just have I'd have no interest in taking a guy who, even throughout the year, all the allegations, the thing with he had the thing about the crab legs that there was, you know, they were given to him. There was a guy they had on the inside. But my question there again is, then why are you shoving him down your pants? Wouldn't the guy put him in a bag for you and come up with some dummy receipt?
Maybe that was part of the deal.
He had to shove him down his pants?
You have these for free. But you have to walk out with them in your pants.
Well, you know what?
That's funny.
But maybe they gave him the bag. He took him out of the bag and put him in his pants because he wanted to look like he was, you know.
Packing heat?
Packing some serious crab heat. I'll tell you what, having had crabs, I don't think it's a good idea to be, you know, sticking those legs where he had them. Not a good idea at all. But again, I'm looking for 7 o'clock tomorrow. And by the way, as I mentioned earlier, 7 o'clock tomorrow night, 105 The Ticket will have a draft special, 7 to 11. Gio and Jones, Brian Jones is joining us later today, but that's our morning show on 105 The Ticket. They will be covering the draft from start to finish in the first round. You'll certainly get to hear when Winston goes and Mariota, and you'll find out who the Vikings wind up taking. And it does seem like Trey Waynes makes sense for them, but listening yesterday to Rick Spielman, it also sounded like he's more than happy to trade that pick and move down a few slots, which tells you he's not really going after a guy. He's not expecting to see someone slide to 11.
We're just waiting for whatever falls in our lap, apparently.
Well, we'll try a bunch longer. Let's say he were to trade out of 11 and go down to, well, he used the number 17. He just picked it up out. If they like Trey Waynes, then take him at 11. Do they think he'll be there at 17? Or maybe they think Devontae Parker, the wide receiver, will be there a few slots later.
But isn't that what the Vikings did with Christian Ponder? They could have gotten him a little bit later and ended up just taking him.
Yeah, maybe they learned from that. Well, also last year, though, they did the flop, you know, and they moved with Cleveland. They flop picks.
Oh, yeah.
You're looking at me quizzically.
I was trying to remember stuff. It's confused.
Yeah, they did. They took a cornerback, and then, you know, then they wound up picking, made a great pick in the draft, too, your Vikings. But it's going to be fun, and it's going to be interesting. And just the one thing I'd mentioned, the Manziel, they claim, as I mentioned a little earlier, that he's night and day. I just don't see him changing that much. You know, he went through the, this is Joe Thomas, by the way, of the Browns. But also, he's a teammate. He's going to be saying stuff like that. So, well, we got plenty to talk about. We're going to be joined when we return. Cameron Botticelli will join us in studio from the University of Minnesota. He could be drafted over the next few days. If not, he will be with an NFL team by the end of the weekend because teams will want him if he winds up signing as a free agent or be drafted. So he'll be with us. Talk to Chuck Foreman. We got plenty to talk about. We'll be right back. Still no Frankie Valli. I've been asking him. He did it once.
Yeah, so you can't
see Jersey
I
Boys?
Never did it.
I've not.
All right. It's terrific. I saw the movie. Didn't see the play. That voice you heard belongs to Cameron Botticelli. I told you last time you were here, why didn't your parents name you Carmine? It'd be a perfect name for Botticelli.
It would have been too good. It would have been too good.
Yeah. Well, your mom had to Americanize it on us, I guess.
Yeah,
so, Cameron Botticelli, 6'5", 290, still work, or are you? Did you put a little more muscle on?
I'm still at my playing weight, 6'5", 290. You know, weighed in, I think it was like about 287 at Pro Day. So I've put a pound or two on in the past 2 months working out, and feel good. Feel ready to go and seize whatever opportunity I get.
And Cameron, we played for the Gophers. How many years did you start? All 4 years there?
As a 3 year starter, 4 year letterman.
Okay, that's pretty damn good. At the U as a defensive tackle, and now
everybody loves the Gophers.
Who was that again?
It's Nino.
Oh, Nita Ryder, that's right.
Everybody loves the Gophers.
Everybody loves the Gophers. Yeah, they do love you guys. But you were telling us off the air that you were not invited to the combine, but you had your pro day, and you had a pretty good one. But you checked all the, you averaged out every number of a defensive tackle or defensive lineman.
I did. You know, dating back to when I was playing, I like to look at numbers and see that stuff. Didn't get a combine invite, but I set goals for myself based on what the guys who did get invited to the combine went to and did. And, you know, I hit those goals. You know, every number I put up was, you know, either a little better or within a tenth of a second of those guys who did go to the combine. So, you know, moral of the story is it's important to set goals and train hard for them.
Now, and that's the fact that you did that. You probably got noticed at your pro day because there were a number of scouts there from teams, and you've heard from me. You have an agent. Is he telling you could go in, you know, in one of the late rounds, or more than likely it'll be as a free agent? Do you have an idea yet?
You know, all indications right now in talking with some teams and talking with my agent is that I'm going to get an opportunity as an undrafted free agent. Which, you know, if you look back just in my personal history, you know, all I've needed is an opportunity all along the way. You know, went to Marquette High School and was admitted. You know, they charged tuition there, did some janitorial work and stuff like that.
It was
a work grant program. Wasn't the red carpet, but I got an opportunity. Look back at the start of my career with the Gophers. They said, sure, we'll have you as a walk-on. Again, wasn't the red carpet, but it was an opportunity. And I'm excited. I'm excited for the next
I didn't realize
phase.
You were a walk-on.
Yes, was a walk-on for 2 years. It took me 2 years to earn a scholarship and a starting job. So, you know, looking down the line, I'm excited to restart the process, you know, at the next level.
Well, just to you probably know this, there's a guy that the Vikings had as an undrafted free agent named John Randall. His career didn't turn out so bad.
Not at all.
He's in a Hall of Fame now.
I won't get into making comparisons or setting expectations too high, but you know, I'm excited to settle in somewhere and work hard and you know, enjoy the fruits of my labor.
Well, you know, you probably have followed the Randy Gregory stuff before the combine. He got caught. You know, they found marijuana in the system, and the Shane Ray arrested just the other day with marijuana. I haven't seen anything about Cameron Botticelli. No arrests with marijuana or drinking or doing stupid things like these guys. When you see these stories, are you amazed by them? How do you basically put yourself in that peril so close to the draft?
Well, you know, first and foremost, it's been a quiet couple months since Pro Day. You know, I live in a meager apartment across the street from the weight room. So I'm never too far away from home, being in the weight room. You know, I've had a chance to see Shane Ray and what he can do when we played him in you know, the Citrus Bowl this past January, and seeing what he can do as a player and the tremendous talent that he has. You know, my personal opinion, I wouldn't be too quick to discount all the efforts and all the labors that he's invested into being a football player on a poor decision.
Well, but that's the one thing that some scouts will look, some teams will look at it and say, yeah, he's a heck of a player, but how could you be so stupid? Can we count on him to be there on Saturday night into Sunday morning and not screw up? That's the thing that concerns teams. Not if you can get him to Sunday, you'll be fine.
Absolutely.
But I think that's what makes them worry.
Absolutely. And you know what? I've never been a coach, with the exception of some volunteer work this summer at Andover High School. go Huskies. but as a player, I can admire all the hard work and the effort that he's put in to perfect in his craft.
Now, tomorrow, this is a big weekend for you, obviously. However, whether you're drafted or not drafted, will you watch the draft, the first round tomorrow? I mean, because you have some friends. Max Williams could wind up being somewhere in the first round.
Absolutely, absolutely. Absolutely love Max. Was lucky enough to get out to Waconia and spend some time with him and his family this past summer before our final Gophers training camp together. And, just a really special family, really special kid. Of course, I'll be watching to see where Max goes and some other guys that I've met along the way and played with and against in some facet or another.
Now, you're biased because you played with him, but I had said to you before we came on during our break that whoever gets David Cobb is going to get a steal. And because he was hurt. He didn't have a good combine. He basically didn't do most of the drills. His pro day was okay.
I think
he's faster than what he showed up on his pro day, though.
You know what? I was there. I didn't get the exact numbers, from everything I've heard, kind of in the football stratosphere is that he performed well at pro day, and that we did mention it off air, but whatever team does decide to take him, you can look at his stats and look at his numbers and say the Gophers rushed more than any other team other than Georgia Tech or whoever it was.
Yep.
But ultimately, whatever team does pick him up is going to get the value that they get off the field in leadership in the weight room, in the locker room, in the effort, in the film room. It's just as valuable, if not more valuable, than whatever production he can give them on the field.
Well, that's something that's what I was talking about, like these guys like with Ray and Gregory. You can't underestimate the value of a guy who's not going to let you down off the field. And that's someone, because we've had, you were in here before with Mike Morris and me, and we had David was in with us too. I have not met a member of that team, and you could speak of it. I mean, obviously, not if there's a bad guy on it, but it seems to me like it's whether it was Kalen before him, your coach who recruited you, Gopher Nation, but there's not a bad, it's a good bunch of guys. You don't find that on a lot of teams. I mean, Alabama just had their fourth guy arrested in the offseason.
It is, and you know what? I hesitate to speak about the shortcomings or the mistakes about other programs, but what I can say about Gopher football,
listen to you,
about Gopher football and Jerry Keel is that I think what you've noticed, having guys here and on the show and interacting with them off the field is the type of man that is created out of a Jerry Keel football program. It's a special product. It's a man born of hard work and character. There were guys who, when I first got here, were better than me on the field, but here I am taking reps with the second first team as a young player because, I went to class, I got my homework done, I was in the film room and I did all the extra stuff. So I think what you're noticing is a direct effect of Jerry Keel and the football program that he runs.
What was your major?
I studied political science for my undergrad. I graduated in December of 2013 with that, and right now I'm about three classes away from a Master of Education, and which I've put on hold to pursue an NFL career.
So when you played this past season, you actually had your you were in grad school.
Yep, I was taking grad school classes. Yeah.
Well, let's say you have the NFL career. Do you want to teach, or do you want to be an administrator at a school? You're doing it. You're certainly impressing the hell out of me.
Thank you. You know what? I've always said, I'm just as passionate about a career in law or business as I am about football. So you know what? Wherever my football career ends, and fingers crossed, it's not for some time. I'll have a second football or a second career that I'm just as passionate about to start.
So what? The three classes means what? One semester?
It's one semester.
So you're not going to even think about that until you're done with football.
Yeah, once I'm done playing the game, then I'll come back for a semester and relive some of my glory days.
And you don't have any eligibility left, right? They've already checked that.
No.
Can a guy graduate like you did in 2013? And if you had more, if you hadn't played the full 4 years, you could have gone through grad school and continued playing, right? You could have 2 years of grad school. and play.
Absolutely. And that's another thing you see, these 1 year transfers. That's because they've completed their coursework. And, you know, once you graduate with your undergraduate degree, some of the restrictions as far as the NCAA goes, as far as transfer rules and stuff like that,
disappear.
Yeah.
Well, they lessen.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? We're going to take a quick break. We're joined by Cameron Botticelli. Carmine around here. We'll have to talk to your parents about it. You can legally change it. I'm telling you, the NFL, Carmine Botticelli would be a great name. That's like a name from the 50s. You know, like, Carmine, he could be a hell of a player. Defensive tackle with the Gophers. He will be with an NFL team by the end of the weekend. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Chuck Foreman, former Viking, terrific, an iconic player for the Vikings. And I talked to Chuck today, and I wanted actually Chuck and Cameron to talk, because Chuck could probably give you some. He played a while ago, but if things don't change, just some tips on how you can make a big impression on the coaches. I'm sure you have an idea, but Chuck might be able to short-circuit a few things. And have you ever talked to Chuck? He's a great guy.
I've not, but I've loved to hear from one of the greats.
Yeah, so we'll be right back with Cameron Botticelli and Chuck Foreman. We're back. Now, Cameron, this is how I would say it. I am saying your last name correctly, right? Botticelli?
Botticelli, correct.
All right, because that's how I would say it as an I to fellow I-tie. But sometimes people Americanize and it's Botticelli. That wouldn't make sense at all. With Cameron Botticelli from the University of Minnesota, he will be with an NFL team when the weekend is over. And we're joined now by one of the greatest Vikings of all time, Chuck Foreman. Chuck, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing, Bob?
Not too bad. Now, I want you to talk to Cameron and give him some tips. But before you do that, what I want you to do is I want you to tell me who the Vikings are going to pick.
Wow. If I'm the Vikings, I'm going for Amari Cooper, if he's around, but I doubt he'd be around.
So you think they should go wide receiver?
A wide receiver would be good. The offensive line help would be good. I think linebackers, I think they're pretty solid there.
Cornerback.
And you know what they need to do? I know the draft is here and all that, but you know, the guys they got to step it up a notch. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yep.
Offensive tackle, both of them.
Khalil, yep.
Yeah, okay.
In there particular.
So, but anyway, I think that would be a good need. But there's a lot of nice players in the draft, and it just depends on who's going to go where, you know, and who's going to pick whom. They never let you know exactly who they're going to pick. They throw out all these little verbs and stuff like that. Oh, we look interested in this guy, and they may be interested in somebody completely different. So it's going to be an interesting draft day. There's a lot of talent there.
Let me ask you a question, and then we will talk to Cameron about this. But Jameis Winston, would you use the first overall pick on him, or would he scare you? He scares me.
Don't scare me.
Well, you know why? He's a Florida guy. That's why.
First of all, you know, all the stories that came out about Jameis Winston, if you dig deep into him and you read about him, you know, he got the blame for a lot of things. And certainly, you know, I don't know what kind of deal they had at these grocery stores where the guys could go get what they wanted, but, you know, certainly something like that was in place. I don't know. I don't think his troubles, if you want to call them that, or his mischievousness is worth not drafting him. Number one, he's the best quarterback there is in college football. And Marietta, he's good, but I don't know if he's even the top three, five quarterbacks.
Well, there's there's a lot of people thinking he's going to go number two, so we'll see now.
Well, you know, a lot of NFL scouts don't know what they're talking about.
You should be a scout.
I tried to be, but my resume wasn't good enough.
That's ridiculous if somebody told you that.
Yeah, they told me that.
Well, Chuck, I want you to – we have Cameron Botticelli from the University of Minnesota. Okay. He was a defensive tackle. 6'5", 290, great attitude. And as he said, everywhere he's gone, people have said, you can't get it done. But he's got a motor to him. And I just wanted to have you talk to him about some suggestions when he does go with a team. And he may be drafted or he may be an undrafted free agent.
Okay, first of all, Cameron, what everybody else says, you throw it out the door. Let me tell you this. My college football coach told me that I'd never played running back in the NFL. So he moved me to defensive back. Then he moved me to wide receiver. But you know what happened? Wherever he moved me, I just decided to be the best at each position, which I was. So I came to the NFL and used all those skills. So, you know, you got all these guys saying, you can't do this, you can't do that. But you see, the thing that they can't measure, Cameron, is what's in your heart, brother.
Yes, sir.
And I watched you play. You know, you can continue to do that. You go there, you work hard every day. Study your don't make mistakes. Do your thing. Go prepare, and you know what? You'll be just fine.
Thank you very much. Hey, it means a lot coming from one of the greats.
I'm just telling you the way it is.
And he saw you play. Yeah. He did.
Absolutely.
What'd you say, Bob?
No, you've seen him play because you followed the Gophers.
Yeah, I've seen him play. I know what he can do. So, you know, and then let me tell you something else. And I tell you this like I told my son, too, when he was getting ready for the draft. You know, most of these guys are created, media creations. They ain't never as good as they say they are. There's very few of them that are. Now, some of them are, but most of them aren't. Because, you know, once it gets to, you go to high school, you play, then you go to college and you got to turn up a next level. Then when you go to the NFL, Cameron, you got to turn it up to a whole different type of level.
Absolutely.
And everybody is not willing to do that because it takes a lot of sacrifice. You see what I'm saying? And you are made up of something special because I see, you know, you come every play and continue to say, you know, this guy's fast and he can do this, but you know what? Does he make the play? You see, they can go and they watch film on a guy making plays all year long. Then he goes through the combine and has a bad combine, and then it's, oh, he can't play. But yet, they watched him a whole 2 years making plays. So, you know, these scouts and things like that, you know, they know what they're doing and know what they're saying for the most part. But, you know, they can never measure your heart, man. And if you got that going for you, you can beat any odds. So that's my advice to you, my friend.
Thank you very much. Absolutely. And, you know,
stay focused on that.
Thank you. Being a cat who's been under the radar, played, you know, next to Rashid Hageman a couple years ago,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, watched his process to success and everything that he's invested into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm excited to get an opportunity and, you know, put my head down, keep quiet and work hard.
Well, you know what? You're already in an elite class just to be considered. For the NFL draft, remember that you're in a unique company. And you gotta remember that. Respect it. Work hard at it. Make sure you navigate away from all the crap that's gonna come your way, and it will. You know, no question about it. And that's a difficult thing to do, but you do that and continue doing what you're doing. You'll be playing on Sundays, no doubt.
Thank you very much, Mr. Foreman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and again, Chuck Foreman, you know, he saw you play, Cameron Botticelli from the University
right.
of Minnesota. And so he's just not throwing it out there because he's, you know, I told him your size and he went off of that. He's seen you play. He saw the motor
right.
that you have. And in terms of motors, few players have had the motor Chuck had in the NFL. I mean, Chuck, you and I have talked about your career.
Right.
You were the first great running back who had receiving skills. I mean, you helped change the way the position was looked at.
Well, certainly, and that's what I'm saying to you, Cameron. You see, and I even tell my youngest son the same thing. You know, let them move you anywhere they want, because they moved me from, I was a tight end when I came into school. They moved me to running back, then they moved me to wide receiver, then they moved me to cornerback. But, you know, I was the best at every one of them they put me at. So, you know, all that does is make you better. You know, and make you a better being. So that I brought all those skills to the NFL. So, you know, I'd be the best wide receiver on the Vikings or the best running back on the Vikings or whatever I needed to be. My attitude was that I was going to come there and be the best. And that takes a lot of sacrifice and stuff like that. But, you know, that's what you do because this is a game. It's a short-term, let's say for lack of a better, it's a short-term gig. NFL means not for long. So you do what you got to do to stay in there as long as you can. And keep everything in order, do your things, and make sure you stay focused, you know, and you'll be just fine.
You know what you should, Cameron, and Chuck, you know what Cameron should do? He should hook up with superstar Mike Morris, learn how to long snap. And this way,
that's not a bad deal now, Cameron.
And,
you stay in the league 20 years and only going on the field like, what, 7-8 times?
as a matter of fact, a motivational speaker that was brought in mm-hmm. this past camp, his name's Spencer Conley.
Right.
You know, played in the CFL some, mm-hmm. played down at Texas. He made that same suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all about adding value.
Right.
And,
you
know,
what you can do, yeah.
And while I'm, you know, I have actually, I had a chance, while I trained in Nashville to get ready for Pro Day, I was down there with a long snapper
mm-hmm.
from Vanderbilt, Andrew East, and he's the top long snapper in the country. So I have picked up a couple
mm-hmm.
things.
Pick up more.
I'm no whiz kid snapping the ball yet, but it's something
but
that
listen,
I've worked on.
Let me tell you something. You know, I like the word long snapper. You know, I'm so used to having just one of the greatest centers I ever played. His name, Mick Tingelhoff, was going into the Hall of Fame. He not only played center, he was a long snapper. He did everything. So now then they created this new position, the long snapper, which Mike Morris was one of the first. And Mike played so many years, but if you have that talent, man, I'd encourage you to learn to do it, because like the more you can do, you know, the longer you'll be there, and you know, you want to be there as long as you can.
Absolutely.
That's great advice. Well, you should hook up with talk to Mike at some point, because he was the best that, I mean, he's the best long snapper the NFL scene.
I think Mike is still, he could have long snapped.
He could do it now.
Yeah, you can do it now.
Hey, Chuck, the time always flies when we talk. Chuck Foreman, Vikings legend. We got to talk again. You know what? Maybe we could, if you have some time, maybe we'll talk tomorrow, the day of the draft, too. We'll talk more about the Vikings.
I hope so, because I think Rick, I heard you say something about Rick Spielman and Adrian Peterson. No, they should not ever trade Adrian. You know, I think they should keep him here. He'll adjust to it. And with that added, with him added back into the equation, the Vikings are definitely a big-time playoff team.
Well, you know,
and
that
that's
Mike,
just the way it is.
Like we said, Mike Zimmer doesn't want to get rid of him.
Then he shouldn't. And they shouldn't. And, you know, and as we said, and as you and I talked before, you know, all things pass. You know what I mean? And, of course, you know, why would he want to go somewhere and make $6.5 million instead of $12.5 million? That makes sense.
No, it doesn't add up. Not at all.
Okay.
Let's talk again this week, Chuck. Thank you, Chuck Foreman.
Thank you very much, Cameron. Good luck to you. I'll be looking out for you, man. And just stay focused, brother. You'll be okay.
Thank you so much. It means a lot from one of the greats,
Mr. Foreman. All right, bye-bye.
All right, take care, Chuck. Cameron, this has been great to be able to join us. I appreciate it. We want to talk to you after you wind up with a team. And I'm not kidding about that long snapping. If any of the teams call tomorrow, you know, I'm a long snapper, too. I don't know if you knew that. And then you better learn. You better get on the phone with a superstar and say, I need to work with you, sir.
That's right. I'm going to have to go with Mike.
And he is the best. If you're going to learn, that's the guy you want to learn from. Cameron Botticelli, our guy Carmine, thanks for taking the time with us. It was great, and the time just flew. University Minnesota defensive tackle. By the end of the weekend, Saturday night is probably when the phone's going to start ringing off the hook if you're not drafted already.
That's right.
Now, do you have you looked at teams? But I mean, you have to consider every team because you never know who's going to call. Do you have a list of the teams in order that you'd like to go based on their needs?
I do. I won't disclose any of those.
No, that's fine.
If things change, I don't want to look foolish. But I do. I've spoken with a few teams, and so is my agent. So as far as needs go, you know, it's really a credit to Blake Barrett, who's my agent, and the Institute for Athletes, which is the agency, and they do a terrific job in looking at personnel on different NFL teams and who has needs and where would the best fit be. So absolutely, that's been happening.
They have to readjust it after the draft because some of those teams may not have that need anymore.
That's right.
All right, Cameron Botticelli, thank you. We're going to take a quick break, come right back, talk to Brian Jones from the Geo and Jones Morning Show right here on 105 The Ticket. We're joined by Brian Jones from the Geo and Jones Morning Show, 5 to 8 on 105 The Ticket. Tomorrow night, Brian Jones, Geo and Jones will give you full draft coverage. Their draft special tomorrow night from 7 to 11. You don't want to miss that. Now, Brian, usually everyone knows who the first overall pick is. Everyone's presuming, or many are, it's Jameis Winston. I'm still not convinced that they're going to pull the trigger on Winston because there's too many warning flags there. Are you sure it's going to be him, or where are you on that?
Bob, I'm with you, man. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not going to believe it till I see it. I think the guy is a wonderful football player. You look at the big moments and how he wasn't phased one bit, all the controversy surrounding him during Florida State's championship season, nothing phased him. For him to keep his wits about him, for him to show up in the big moments of ball games and produce like it was no one's business, all that says, yes, he's the overall number one pick. He's played in a pro-style offense. He's made the play calls. He's checked out of play calls. He's been under center. Everything they want to see at the next level. He checks all the boxes in terms of that. It's just the off-the-field stuff. That's what's scaring people away. So until I see it, until I hear his name called, first pick of the 2015 NFL draft, I ain't believing it.
Well, I'm with you, Brian. And, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have that pick. And Malcolm Glazer's daughter is very influential now since his passing. And I've seen something a month or so ago where she's not crazy about this off-field stuff. So we'll see how much impact the owner has on this decision. Maybe they trade out of the pick.
Well, that's true, but who do you trade with? Who covets him that much? They need a quarterback. He's the most NFL-ready, considering what type of system he played in college. But that being said, that doesn't necessarily translate to success. At least early success at the NFL level. You know, these are allegations, but this day and age, allegations, you know, you guilty until proven innocent. He hasn't been charged with anything. He hasn't been arrested for those things. You know, the crab legs and all that stuff. We said at the time it was a hookup.
Yep.
You can go to any campus around the nation, and I'm sure the athletes have a hookup at some store or restaurant. So that doesn't bother me one iota. But the serious allegations of sexual assault, that does.
Now, do you think, you know, talking to Brian Jones from the Giro on Jones show, 5 to 8 on 105 The Ticket, do you think that someone would move up to take Mariota or maybe Leonard Williams? Or is that do you not see that happening?
Well, I think if you sit where you are, and let's say Winston is the first pick, I think Mariota probably goes to Tennessee. I think they would ideally like to trade out of that pick. Ken Wisenhunt, his track record at Arizona when he took the Cardinals to the Super Bowl and they lost to the Steelers. He had a prototypical type quarterback in Kurt Warner. He was OC there at San Diego with prototypical type quarterback Philip Rivers, helped him get over some woes he had experienced in previous seasons prior to his arrival. So he's got a guy like Zach Mettenberger, who, if not for his ACL injury his last year at LSU, he's a higher pick than he did go. So he's got a howitzer for an arm. I think that's the guy they really like, at least Wisenhunt. Those are the types he's used to coaching. But that's not a knock against Mariota. And I would suggest to some of these coaches, you know, instead of dogging these guys for the spread systems they play in, how about you adopt some of that? Some of that and leverage it because that's the guy's skill set.
Now, Brian, let me ask you this. How far – I saw stories yesterday. One unnamed scout said he could drop as far as the fourth round. First of all, I think we can agree the stupidity of a guy like Shane Ray to be caught with marijuana a few days before the draft. But how far do you think he could slide?
I don't think he slides out of the first round.
I don't either.
Yeah, I think he – I have him – my latest mock draft, I have him going 20 to the Eagles. They need a pass rusher. This guy, he's an exceptional football player. Some questions whether or not he can stand up and play some outside linebacker. Can he be strong at the point of contact versus heavy running teams and hold the edge? He has a relentless motor. He's hungry out there on the football field. So I think he's a dynamite player, and I don't think he falls out of the first round. And these teams have to do their due diligence, and they know everything about his background and how he grew up. And, you know, there was a time early on in his younger life where he could have taken the wrong road. He straightened that out, went on to become an excellent football player, and I don't think he falls out.
Where did you have him going before this the news broke that he was caught with marijuana?
I had him in the top 10, possibly going to Chicago. You know, they need a pass rusher, so I had him going possibly to Chicago, and maybe he still goes there. They've got a new regime. You've got John Fox, who just came from Colorado, Denver, and hey, they've legalized marijuana there.
So maybe, that's right.
Maybe they look at it differently.
That'd be the perfect place for him. Brian Jones, talking to Brian Jones from Geo and Jones, 5 to 8 on 105 The Ticket tomorrow night. Geo and Jones will give you our draft coverage from 7 to 11 on 105 The Ticket. Now, Brian, where did you you have Randy Gregory still in the top 10? He also had the issue where he tested positive at the combine for marijuana, but or did he drop much in yours, or that happened so long ago you don't think it'll affect him?
Well, here's the deal, and you're right. It happened so long ago, and it's given teams a chance to drill a little deeper with him, not so much with Shane Ray, but with Randy Gregory a little deeper to see, okay, is this going to be a real deep-rooted problem we're dealing with, like a Deion Jordan who was just suspended for the entire year, forfeiting almost $6 million, suspended for the third time in a calendar year. That's just asinine. Or is it a problem like a Justin Blackmon? Number one pick a couple years ago out of Oklahoma State. Excellent wide receiver, has done nothing for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They still support him, though. You know, is it a deep-rooted problem like that, or is it a problem like most of our locker room where we got a number of guys that smoke the wacky tobacco? You know, it just depends on which line are they in, and then that's a conundrum for these teams.
Now, Brian, we have our feelings here, and I think he will be traded. Where are you on Adrian Peterson? Does he get traded tomorrow?
He is not going to my Dallas Cowboys, so y'all need to give up on that, even though he was like to be there. He is not going. I think you're gonna have to give up a lot to get just an outstanding running back like Adrian Peterson. I don't know if teams have enough or are willing to give up that much for Adrian right now. That's a big hit from a salary cap standpoint. It's a big hit from a roster turnover and draft picks. So I don't foresee it happening.
Now, on the number 11 pick to the Minnesota Vikings, who does Brian Jones have them picking on his latest mock draft?
Well, at first, you know, I was believing all the rumors that AP would be moving. Now I don't. So then I had him taking a running back. But now, how about Lyle Collins? Now you've got stuff swirling around him with killing of an ex-girlfriend down in Louisiana. So people are wanting to talk to him as far as the authorities. But I see a Collins. You guys need help on your offensive line, man.
So you have them taking a lineman?
I have the Minnesota Vikings taking a lineman.
Well, they could use help a lot of places.
Right?
Secondary? Linebacker?
Yep, I understand that. But I think you shore up the offensive lineman, give Bridgewater some more protection, whether it's Peterson, whoever is going to be running the rock. He opens up some more holes. But I say offensive line.
Then are you going with the Iowa kid? Who are you going with?
No, I got Sheriff Lee. I got him going early. I got him with the fifth pick to Washington. They gave up. They allowed almost 60 sacks a year ago. They definitely need to shore their offensive line. I like Lyle Collins out of LSU.
Well, isn't that a little bit of a push at 11, or do you not think so?
Well, I think he's a guy who can also not only play guard and left tackle for you. So when you have versatility like that, I think you go pretty high.
That's a good point. I just think with Mike Zimmer as the coach, he's going to want to shore up his defense.
Right.
And that's a big part of it. Well, you know what? We'll find out soon enough. Brian Jones, it's great talking to you. Brian Jones from Geo and Jones, our morning show on 105 The Ticket. Tomorrow night, the draft special, 7 to 11. Geo and Jones will bring all the coverage to you. And I know that, well, Brian, I know you're going to have a few things to say about how those guys fall. Hopefully, and I know you won't have a hissy fit like Mel Kiper does when he doesn't get the second or even the first overall pick right.
Yeah, how many times has he been right?
Not as many as he'd like to be, that's for
exactly.
Sure.
Exactly. He's like these weathermen and weather women.
That's right. Brian Jones, great talking. Love to talk to you again soon. Thank you.
You got it, Bob. Thanks, man.
All right, take care. Thanks again to Brian Jones. Again, a part of our morning show, Geo and Jones from 5 to 8 on 105 The Ticket. We'll be right back. You know what? We got even more draft talk to talk about.